Hardy with a powerful right hand knocking Sammy Guevara through the stage.
I want a divorce. Oh!
I told you, I was gonna ruin yours!
I feed a whole family with this title!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Highs and Lows in Wrestling here on the unofficial WWE podcast. Today is Sunday, August 22nd, 2021. My name is Mimi Burris, and guys, Raw, NXT, Dynamite, SmackDown, AEW Rampage with a minor debut, SummerSlam with a few debuts as well, NXT TakeOver tonight. There is a whole lot to get into. However, that is not what this show is. We are not a giant week in review. Sometimes I go off on a tangent and just start talking about everything that went on in the week. However, that's not why we're supposed to be here. We're here to talk about our high and our low of the week, and it was pretty clear for me right off the back as last night went on in SummerSlam and whatever crap shoot of 5 hours that was. I fell asleep. I don't know if anybody else did, but I to be fair, I had been working for 3 weeks straight. Today is my first day off. But I fell asleep during, I think I fell asleep right after Bobby Lashley just murked Gage Goldberg. So it was a long show. I don't know what to get into about all that. We're not going to talk about all of it. I don't care to talk about all of it. In fact, I'm actually in a really good mood because I tried to make tomato soup this morning. It didn't turn out right, at least. I don't know how you screw up tomato soup, but I don't know how to cook. So I tried to make tomato soup. We ended up making it into like a makeshift minestrone kind of deal with some yummy pasta and whatever. It ended up being really good. So, you know, I'm in a pretty good mood after my soup, my midday soup. We were supposed to have a hurricane today. Nope, nothing. As I figured, I mean, we got some wind and some rain, but really nothing. So all in all, guys, today's been a pretty good day, and I get to end my day playing up or down with timing the matches on TakeOver tonight. I'm calling Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole. You guys heard it here. It's going to go over an hour. Without a doubt, it goes over an hour. And if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong, and I'm not Mary Grater, so I don't have to be right. In these predictions, that is not my job here. All I am here, guys, to give you is your high and low of the week. And without further ado, I'll shut up. Let's just get into your high of the week because I'm feeling, like I said, pretty positive. Let's switch it up. Let's change it up around here. Let's talk about some good stuff. Let's be positive because f*** you, Logan Meyer 23. I'm positive as all hell right now because my favorite male wrestler of all time, right, returned to pro wrestling this Friday. Our high of the week is none other than the debut of CM Punk on AEW Rampage right off the bat, guys. They did not give us a second to wait. Show comes on the air. The crowd's chanting the CM Punk. You can't. It's deafening. It is deafening chants. The music hits, and I have not heard a pop like that in how long. And before we get into the actual event, I've mentioned this before, Matt, Zach, and I all made recorded a show on Friday night after Rampage specifically, and we talked about the debut, we talked about some of the other matches on the show, but for the most part, we talked about Punk. So if you want to go check that out and you haven't listened to it yet, go do that. But some of the stuff might seem a little repetitive. I will try to give all the takes I wasn't able to give on that show, though. But I did mention this, and I want to say it again because it deserves to be reiterated. This marketing campaign was genius. If you think that this wasn't leaked on purpose, you are special. Yeah, this was 100% leaked on purpose to the right credible sources. And yeah, I mean, without AEW officially confirming it, realistically, guys, these people in Chicago all bought a ticket based on a rumor. And a genius way to do it. All Tony Khan announced, obviously, was that there was going to be a big announcement. And then right off the back of the show, we get Cult of Personality playing the little... You guys know it. I'm not going to try to redo it. Okay. And like I said, deafening CM Punk chants throughout the entire song. He just soaked it all in. He jumps into the crowd at one point. I love that. You know, you can get fined in WWE if you have any, like, physical interaction with the crowd. Just throwing that out there. That's why we don't do that anymore. But yeah, I mean, they do, and they had like Nikki Ash whenever went in the crowd, but you can't like go and touch fans and stuff like that anymore, you will get fined an excessive amount of money. It's a ridiculous amount of two. I don't know. If we have the time, I'll go look it up. But nevertheless, guys, we're talking about CM Punk. So yeah, jumped into the crowd, just soaked it all in, tears in his eyes. I had tears in my eyes, grown men crying in the crowd. I'm sure grown women crying in the crowd, grown whatever you identify as crying in the crowd. I have goosebumps just talking about it now. I had goosebumps everywhere when I was watching it on Friday night. It was a moment I will not forget for a long time. And people who say, oh, they should have just left it a surprise, whatever. Like, no, you weren't going to get the reaction that you got. AEW did this perfectly. Genuinely, perfectly. I would not have changed a single thing. And so, yeah, CM Punk comes out, says, you know, I didn't plan what I was going to say at all. Well, first he comes out and let me say he puts over Britt Baker and says, guys, you really know how to make a boy feel like Britt Baker in Brittsburg, Pennsylvania. In true Punk fashion, he puts over so much talent already right in his first promo. That's how you do it. He comes out, though, says he didn't plan what he was going to say. And that's the beauty in this, right? That CM Punk is allowed to not have to be scripted or have bullet points. He's just allowed to go out there with a microphone. And who else would you want to send out there with a microphone and no script than CM Punk? He took up the first entire, you know, segment, obviously, with just his entrance. We went to commercial break. Excalibur was really clear. It was only going to be 90 seconds, so stay tuned. And yeah, when we came back in, he says he didn't plan what he was going to say. He has good news and bad news. He says the bad news is he won't get into all of his business tonight. The good news is that there is time because he's not going anywhere. He's got Wednesdays. He's got four Sundays on pay-per-view. He's got Fridays. He says that if his life's choices, aka, you know, retiring from wrestling, made anyone feel disappointed, then he understands. He asked for those people to understand that he was never going to get well physically, mentally, and spiritually healthy, staying at the place that got him sick in the first place. And then, guys, it happened. By the way, I love that line. I don't think he buried WWE. He buried his own experience. Not even buried. He explained his own experience in WWE. He wasn't burying anybody. And I really think he tastefully put that really well. So then it happens, guys. Sits cross-legged in the center of the ring. Huge pop. Huge pop. He says there was a time where he felt like he had to leave, but didn't want to. And he's talking about Ring of Honor. He says that Ring of Honor was a place he helped build where people could get paid to learn and love the craft of pro wrestling. And he says when he left Ring of Honor in 2005, that's when he left pro wrestling. And now today he's returning to pro wrestling. I thought that was really a nice touch too. Because that's what AEW is, guys. You know, it is, despite what I've heard in some podcasts and on some circles of the wrestling community, AEW is a professional wrestling company. And they're not ashamed to call people wrestlers. And Punk made that really clear. He says that AEW is full of young talent with the same passion he had for wrestling. He has a couple of scores to settle in the locker room, and there are some fresh faces he wants to work with. And then immediately, Punk calls out Darby Allin. You know, the camera cuts to him in the rafters with Sting, with some awesome face paint, by the way. And Darby Allin is first on the list. Huge Darby chants, again, shows you how over freaking Darby Allin is. And Punk announces his return match is versus Darby Allin at All Out on September 5th. And his closing note was that the fans in attendance can grab a free ice cream bar on him. Oh, so poetically just nice, nice ending. And Ashley said she actually got two. Our very own Ashley Mann got two ice cream bars. So, you know, it wasn't a bait and switch, guys. He really got his ice cream bars. And everybody, obviously, they had those nice t-shirts that you can go buy at the merchandising table that said, I was there. I saw the lines. It looked ridiculous. From what Ashley said, too, it looked ridiculous. Yeah, guys, the site shut down for people going to buy CM Punk shirts. I mean, the place was, I can't say it enough. Like, you couldn't hear his entrance theme music is the best way Matt put it. You could not hear his entrance music. And it was really special to be able to just witness it even at home. So I loved a lot of what he said. Like I said, immediately putting over Britt Baker. And then he turns his attention to Darby Allin. He's ready to work with new talent and put. I'm so curious to see and excited to see how he can still go in the ring. But if you want to go with anybody, Darby Allin is your person to start with. And I know he's tweeted and had a lot of interest in Darby Allin beforehand. So I also know that AEW, I think it was the little show that he had with Tony Khan afterwards, he said that he and Tony Khan had been in talks for about a year and a half now as to when his debut was going to be. And like I said, this was perfect. I wouldn't have changed a single freaking thing they did. And yeah, I'm really excited for All Out. I am really excited for All Out, and I'm excited to see Punk back in a ring. And it was nice just to see the guy smile in a wrestling ring and be, you know, have all the handcuffs taken off and just be able to be him and do him. And we get to see CM Punk. We get to see the Ring of Honor CM Punk, right? Which was CM Punk with no handcuffs, just being able to be CM Punk. But we get to see him however many years later, right? How many years is that? I don't know. I'm not going to do the math. 2005 to now 2021. With all of this newfound gained experience, ability that he didn't have then. So it's just so much to look forward, guys. And this was so beautifully and tastefully done. CM Punk did not need to challenge Kenny Omega for the world title in a match he doesn't deserve, because we have a ranking system in AEW. CM Punk didn't need to put down anybody in the back. He only lifted up the talent in AEW. So I really, really loved what he had to say. And again, it was unscripted. It was just based off him, because that's just the kind of human being he is. He doesn't need to put the other people down just to sound better. So this was just incredible, guys. We talked on the podcast, obviously. I want to see him go versus MJF. I just would pay money to see him microphone. Like, they could put on a pay-per-view, CM Punk, MJF, face-to-face, if you want to call it that, mic-to-mic, right, pipe bomb versus just the presidential address. I don't know. They could market it. This is why I'm not on their marketing team, and this is why I'm sitting here in my home doing a podcast with you guys. But so many awesome matchups. Hangman Page, I don't even need to see him versus Kenny Omega. I mean, of course, maybe eventually, because that's obviously a dream match for a lot of people, but not right now. Hangman Page is Kenny Omega's hopeful. Hangman Page is the one who's hopefully going to take the title off Kenny Omega. I don't think CM Punk's going to win the AEW title ever. I don't think that's his direction. I want to see a lot of the Dark Order members against CM Punk, or teaming with John Silver, Stu Grayson, Evil Uno. There's so many amazing talents in AEW that I want to see go versus CM Punk. And we're not even going to get all of them, guys. Because, yeah, he mentioned he was going to be around for a while. They didn't disclose how long his contract is, but he's going to be around for a while. But there's never enough time for all of the amazing matches I want to see. Jon Moxley versus CM Punk. I mean, let's give a throwback to ECW and do CM Punk versus Matt Sydal. Or Mike Sydal, or any Rey Fénix, guys. Come on, Penta. I think I'd like to see Penta versus CM Punk than Rey Fénix. I don't know why, but so many dream matches out there for this. Just one guy, and then, of course, Bryan Danielson on his way. And the best part about all of this, guys, is AEW does not need CM Punk. They really don't. They've got so many amazing homegrown talents. The TV ratings are only, you know, on an upwards trajectory. I couldn't find them yet, but I have not seen the ratings for this particular show. But I'm sure they were a million plus at Friday night at 10 p.m. Ridiculous time. And I'm sure they broke a million without a doubt, considering they had 700. What is it? What do they have? It was 740,000. That's what it was. 740,000 about for last week. So without a doubt, they broke a million. And yeah, they don't need Bryan Danielson either. They've got a good system going. Yes, there are a million problems in AEW. Absolutely. But there's good faith with the fans. There's good, you know, follow-up with the fans. The fans can trust the company, the booking, what's going to happen. And this was a perfect way to debut somebody. And we're going to talk about it a little bit more, with compare and contrast probably to the low of the week, which we'll just slide right into right now, guys, without wasting any more time, because I just ranted and raved for about 10 minutes on CM Punk, and get into your low of the week, which if you ever thought I was going to say this, WWE is special, guys. They are special to be able to have me come on this podcast and say that this debut is the low of the week. The debut of Becky Lynch, re-debut, return, whatever you want to call it, of Becky Lynch at SummerSlam last night, guys. Wow, was that awful. There was so many things wrong with this that I'm probably going to miss some points, and I didn't write any of this stuff down. We're just going off the cuff. As you can tell, that's usually how we do this show. By the way, before we get into this, if this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. Thank you for choosing the thank you for, thank you. Thank you for choosing the WWE podcast. Thank you for choosing this podcast specifically. We're on Patreon. It's $1 a month to get all of these shows completely ad-free, and there's a bunch of other tiers with a bunch of other stuff. We got all kinds of shows. We have my arch nemesis, Zach Smith, with the NXT review. We have Matt with a Raw review and a Weekend review, usually with a bunch of amazing co-hosts. We have Michael Ritter covering SmackDown. I think we have some new show called On Commentary. We've got a whole lot of stuff going on here that I'm sure I didn't cover all of it. Just a whole list of co-hosts that all do amazing shows. So go check those out if you haven't already. And we're on iTunes for like $2.99 or something. You get all these shows ad-free as well. So you can subscribe in multiple locations if that's what you want to do. You got options here, guys. You got options here on the WWE podcast. So thank you again for tuning in. And let's put the plugs to one side and now jump right into, like I said, our lower of the week, which was the return of the man. The return of the mom, the man, to the ring. How do you mess this up? And wow, would WWE threw everything at the wall to see if it would stick at SummerSlam. SummerSlam was a crap show, by the way. If you enjoyed it, I'm all power to you. I always say that wrestling is subjective, but that was awful. That was awful, and I'm not gonna have any bones about it, guys. That was really, really not a good 5-hour show. I fell asleep. I don't know if I mentioned that already on the show, but I fell asleep. I think it was around when Bobby Lashley was just murking Goldberg's son, but I fell asleep and missed a lot of it. And then I woke back up towards the end, and then I saw Brock Lesnar with a man bun. And that was probably the highlight of my night, because that was great. That was great. It almost looked as bad as any wrestling move Eva Marie has ever done. So yeah, there was a doll involved. The doll took a bunch of bumps on SummerSlam last night, and like 5.5 hours. I don't know. It was brutal, guys. That was like a really long, awful show. I mean, 3 hours of Raw every night is bad, but this was just like it was almost twice the length, guys. It went past midnight and started at 7, technically, if you want to include the pre-show. So it's just bad. Anyway, so this debut, right? I'm getting off topic here. This debut, I don't know what's going on with Sasha Banks. I looked in the news to try to see if I could find it. I didn't see anything. If any of you guys know, good for you. But I did not see. Hopefully she's all right. I think she just wasn't cleared to compete. So obviously thoughts and prayers go out to her, whatever's going on. So what do they do? What does WWE do? Fine, they swerved you. Good job. Like, that's great. Swerving somebody isn't an accomplishment, by the way, and it's not a good thing. It's just something you do. They swerved you. Okay, fine. They tell you that, by the way, they don't tell you all night and all the day before and all the time that they knew that Sasha Banks, they continue to promote Sasha Banks for all the people who bought tickets for Sasha Banks and yada, yada, yada. They continue to promote Sasha Banks and then don't deliver. It's fine, but you knew Sasha Banks wasn't going to be there for a while. And if you didn't, all right, but you didn't need to play the video package, really? And Bianca Belair comes out, and then all of a sudden, yeah, Sasha Banks isn't cleared to compete. So they send out Carmella. Carmella, who I have sung her praises on this show, is a great hand, is a really good wrestler, and does her best with the crap that she's given. And guys, she's almost even gotten this awful Most Beautiful Women in WWE gimmick over. So props to her. And yeah, so they send Carmella out. And essentially, then they just job her out to Becky Lynch, who comes out, right? The music goes off. She comes out. She looks great. She's happy. The crowd goes crazy. And then she, like, really clunkily beats up Carmella, throws her into the steps. And then Carmella just disappears. Carmella decides, I don't even want to be here anymore. And Becky Lynch challenges, comes back, right? No, she hasn't won a match or been in a match for a while now. She's been at home being a mom. Congratulations to her, of course, as always. But comes in and then just challenges for a world title. No, doesn't need to win any matches. We all know that at this point, because world titles mean nothing in WWE. No titles mean anything in WWE. Challenges for the title. Bianca Belair thinks about it, but I don't know what she's thinking about. But okay, thinking about Carmella on the outside maybe in rematch number 19. And then they shake hands. Becky Lynch punches her and then hits her with a similar, like, I don't know, Michael Cole had some word for it, but I don't know what it is. I don't know why Michael Cole would have a name for it, because I've never seen that move before, unless I'm missing something. It was essentially a rock bottom. And Becky Lynch gets the pin, and then Bianca Belair sells the move as if she just got punted in the head by Randy Orton and her name was Shawn Michaels. No sell. Complete no sell. Like, so then why were you pinned for 3 seconds? That makes no sense. Becky Lynch wins the title, squashes your champion of the last 6 months, who apparently means nothing. I don't know if they're turning Becky Lynch heel. You guys are stupid. And if they aren't turning Becky Lynch heel and think this is the babyface thing to do and have us all stay behind Becky Lynch, you're stupid. And I hate this television show and I hate this company and I love Becky Lynch and my fiance's favorite wrestler is Becky Lynch. And she was even like, what am I watching at this point? What? Why are we really spending our time watching this television show? So guys, I ask you this again as we close out the highs and lows of the week here. Would you rather have a Rampage review show? Because I would way rather do a Rampage review show than talk about anything that goes on in WWE at this point, because I don't know why I'm spending my time watching it. The only reason I watch WWE is for this 20-something minute podcast. And it's a lot of time in my week to watch stuff that just is... It's not like I don't even take it seriously anymore, and I try to just enjoy the crap for what it is, but even the crap's not good anymore. Even the crap's not funny anymore. I mean, where was Reginald doing his flippy stuff? Where was R-Truth? I got nothing, guys. But yes, let me know, obviously. Would you rather hear a Rampage review show? That show I can be positive on so you don't all have to Logan Meyer 23 on me and talk about how negative I am. But you can't tell me that this was a good idea. This was the worst booking possible, probably. You undersold Carmella. You squashed your champion in the last 6 months, and you effectively turned your biggest star in the company heel, but not really. Good job, WWE. Good job. And so your random match recommendation of the week, guys, is actually brought to you this week by the Discord server that you can be a part of by signing up for Patreon on the WWE podcast, patreon.com/thewwepodcast, or you can go on the Patreon app. However, yes, that's not a real advertisement, but your random match recommendation of the week is brought to you by that Discord server and is brought to you by a big fan of the show. Big shout out to DJ Kuzmo. CM Punk versus AJ Styles, Pure Championship Finals and Ring of Honor 2nd Anniversary. The full match, you can go find it on YouTube. Welcome back to Pro Wrestling, CM Punk. It's good to have you back. We missed you. So, with all that being said, guys, I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your week. Not nearly going to be as eventful maybe as this week in wrestling, but CM Punk on Dynamite on Wednesday. Let me know what you think about a Rampage review show rather than the highs and lows of the week. Or maybe you just don't want to hear the show anymore. Maybe you just want me one night of the week. Or maybe you want me 0 days of the week. But guess what, guys? I'll be back here on Thursday with your AEW Dynamite review show. And with that, have a wonderful rest of your week, guys, and I'll talk to you next time.